if this whole pandemic thing had not happened and we had a workplace that was like, it, you know, like we weren't under these crazy lockdowns, or let's just say they did acknowledge the coronavirus thing and it was a pandemic, but there were no major changes to society, but you just happened to work for the hospital or something or whatever, and they said we're mandating flu shots because we want to have less flu, we probably wouldn't have been putting up that much of a stink. Let's just be honest with ourselves. I don't know about the abortion tainted for flu shots. Maybe there's, but whatever. We probably would not have thought that much about it. This whole thing has made this come into hyper focus. This guy, Kelly Brown, I'll actually put another interview. It's really fascinating stuff. I'll double task here. Not double vax, but I'll double task. And I'll put this in the chat. He had an interview with Rebel. And yeah, JB in the chat says, no better way of kill a bunch of people than attacking their hearts. Exactly. Yeah, and myocarditis is myocarditis is permanent, definitely long term. Yeah, because it has like it's like, you know, my knee is pretty sore today. Weirdly, the smallest little thing, I heard it a few weeks ago, knee on knee in a rugby practice. I didn't think I was hurt at all. Just swelled up the next day like a grapefruit. It's just the fluid and stuff. But I went for a run yesterday and I felt a little crackle pop in the knee, and I wake up today and it's just combination of doing that and some deadlifts, whatever. Nothing's injured. It's just really sore because I've had three knee surgeries. So every once in a while, you know, old faithful, she just acts up a bit. You don't get to injure your heart and then think you're not going to have problems with it. People talk about, oh, COVID attacks vital organs. All viruses attack the vital organs. That's what happens, is your organs get hurt. That's why your lungs fill. Like, everything that's attacked with the virus, you know, attacks your organs in some way. You can get these same side effects, encephalitis and stuff, from the flu. Anyway, point is, where was I going with this? Yeah, if you know, I'm just saying, if we had no pandemic measures, and somebody said, you know, my job is saying we all gotta get the flu shot, a lot of people probably would have just, and I'm talking about our type of people, they might have just said, you know what, I'll suck up and do it. Because they didn't really, because, you know, you don't want it, but you look at, you know, it's been around for 15 or 20 years, whatever the number. You don't know people who die from the flu shot. I'm not advocating. I'm just saying this is the logic of it. You would say, eh. You know, it's kind of like, listen, I don't vaccinate my kids anymore. We stopped for various reasons. But, you know, if my son was 20 and he wanted to go travel and they said, well, you know, you can't go be a missionary in Thailand or something unless you got the Hep B shot or something, I'd say, son, you'll be fine. You know, I mean, people take Hep B shots all the time. Whatever. The risks are super, 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 super low. That's just what the number, that's what the numbers. I'm not saying the morale, I'm just saying the numbers are super low. These numbers are insanely high. Again, this is why we need to focus not just on the extreme, you know, these doctors who are into the new age and stuff, and they got these big Rumble videos and they're talking about, you know, whatever. That stuff is misleading. That's the stuff that makes us look like whack jobs. Not that some of it's not true. I'm just saying that's the kind of stuff that if we're not careful, it makes us look like wackos. And then we miss this very measured critique where this guy who is just totally a money guy, and because of that, he knows how to read stats. He was a Bay Streeter, which is Canada's Wall Street, major firms in Toronto. It's big money. I mean, Toronto's a pretty big city. It's massive, massive amounts of money going around. So you got to know your stuff. I would imagine he was in research, which means this guy reads stats and things for a living. So he knows what he's doing. This is why he's so sharp on it. This is why he's able to do this and get canceled from a professional perspective, because he's probably got his money moving in his financial portfolios and all that kind of stuff. But he breaks it down. He's got some more to say here, too, as well.
Interestingly, this is also seven times higher than the risk for those same young males receiving a Pfizer second dose. It appears Pfizer and Moderna have materially different safety profiles across all ages, including in young men. The risk of myocarditis post-vaccination increases as the age category decreases. Ontario reports the risk after Pfizer second doses in 12 to 17-year-old males is 66% higher than for 18 to 24-year-old males. Health Canada has recently approved Moderna's vaccine in 12 to 17-year-olds, despite its 1 in 3,800 myocarditis risk in 18 to 24-year-old males. This is not my data. The foregoing was published by Public Health Ontario on August 25th, 2021, and in Weekly Adverse Events Reporting.
So the thing to remember there as well is how much of the adverse event stuff gets reported. We know not all of it does. I know this is true because I know people work in the hospitals and they say that it happens and the doctors aren't saying it. This is crazy, folks. You don't have to go to the internet shaman who's telling you about the bad vibes coming off the COVID vaccine and whatever. This is just basic stuff. It's important to look into this stuff because this is we all know how it is. We're all woke here at the Crusade Channel in the good sense of the word. We know what's going on. We've seen through this hoax since the beginning. But we all have family members and friends who, watch CNN. Enough said. We can't send those people information from Rumble. We just can't. They see Rumble. That's that far-right crazy jerkwad. What's in over there? That's the hate crime website. You can't send Steve Bannon, a poor man's Mike Church. You can't send Mike Church because demons always react to the voice of truth like that. And they'll make them scream and they won't listen. You got to send them stuff like this. This is why guys like Dr. Byron Bridal are so important. This is why this guy, just a regular dude, I don't even know if he's socially conservative. I have no idea what this guy thinks about gay marriage. I have no idea what this guy thinks about abortion. I have no idea what this guy thinks about the existence of God. I have no idea. But I do know that this guy's good at math, that he's a handsome fella. If you check out the video, I'll put it in the chat. He's your average bloke. He's a professional. He's got a nice haircut, sits in a nice apartment that he probably bought from his nice job, from his nice salary working for Bay Street. He's just a good guy. Just a good, clean-cut, all-Canadian, white-bread kind of fella. And you can send this to people, and they'll go, holy crap! I've recently been having conversations with my mother, God bless her. She watches the news, unfortunately. And we talked, and I said, Mom, here's the numbers. And I showed her, and she was like, holy crap. I said, yeah, you're 65. Okay, fine. The literature says you make your choices, whatever. That's your choice. Fine. But I said, Mom, this is like 50 times more dangerous for me as a 33-year-old man who doesn't subsist off of Cheetos and Mountain Dew. I subsist off of French press coffee and the beautiful food that my wife makes. This is dangerous. This is so, I said, this, Mom, and I said to her, there's natural immunity, all these things, but I said, even if there wasn't, this would be like saying, go catch something. It'd be like saying, go catch COVID times 40 or whatever. This is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. Let's listen to finish off here.
For certain age groups and for certain mRNA vaccines, the cure may be worse than the disease. The above incidence rates are far higher than the annual risk of ICU admission or death from COVID-19 in certain age groups. Regarding risk of myocarditis following COVID-19 infection, if Dr. Davila has definitive age stratified data from Ontario, it should be presented to the Board of Health. The simple question beckons. What is the acceptable level of myocarditis risk following COVID-19 vaccination? What is the appropriate safety signal? The safety signal that stopped the use of AstraZeneca vaccine in Ontario was 1 in 58,000 incidences of blood clots. Board of Health, I ask you to seriously consider and closely study the abundance of adverse events data published by a Public Health Ontario before supporting the MOH.
Anyway, it goes on. This guy's awesome. Well, what's going to happen with all those folks? We got 10 minutes left together here on the live broadcast, and I found an interesting article today from a guy named Julius Rochelle. He's a researcher. He's great. He's done some good stuff. And he wrote this really cool article, and I'll put it in the chat as well. A little bit of inside baseball here for Canadian politics. But basically, there's this one woman. She's a police officer. She's going after her chief. She's going after him criminally, which is a unique perspective. And the reason is, so this article, I'll just read it, part of it. It says, under the shadow of Damocles' sword, forcing employers to put their fingerprints on tyranny. And this is an update on Constable Adrian Gilvesi's fight against mandatory vaccination. So this is an update for this constable. She's fighting against the Toronto Police Service's mandatory vaccination requirement. She sent a letter. All this is in the article. Go to crusadechannel.com/chat to listen. So basically what she's doing is she's now filed an official misconduct complaint with the Toronto Police Service Professional Standards Unit against her chief of police, Chief James Rammer, for various provincial and criminal code offenses. And there's a reason why they do criminal code. If found guilty, Chief Rammer could face time in prison, and theoretically so could any other superior with whom she lodges her complaint if they knowingly allow criminal injustice to continue. Just losing my job is not a legal defense, just turning a blind eye, etc. Now, he's reproduced her complaint with permission here. Now, she's using the legal tools available to her to defend her rights. And by refusing to back down, she is challenging the very core of the supportive pillars upholding this tyranny. A tyranny that cannot survive without the support of institutions. Tyranny collapses without minions. As more people launch lawsuits and file official complaints, and they're happening everywhere, Constable Gilvesi has done, employers who impose these mandates on their employees are placing themselves in legal peril. Her battle is happening at the heart of Toronto Police Services, but the lessons of her actions apply equally to any institution, corporation, etc. Here's a problem for all employers. Whether it takes days, months, or years, the hysteria will eventually end. This is just the truth, people. We're not going to have COVID hysteria for the next 2,000 years. It's not going to happen. Might be years, but it's not going to end, not going to last forever because people have short attention spans. Something else will happen. That's just what happens. But these official complaints will not just go away. Those committing offenses in the name of imposing vaccine mandates are going to have to answer for these charges someday in a court of law somewhere. It's true. The laws of averages, somebody's going to get their day in court. Some judge is going to rule the right way. That's just what happens. Constable Gilvesi is building a legal challenge, a legal avalanche, ready and waiting for the hysteria to end. It will hang over the heads of employers like the ever-present peril of Damocles' sword. If you don't know what that is, in the story from ancient Greece, Damocles sits on a throne above which a sword is suspended, which hangs by a single hair of a horse's tail. It's basically an allegory about when you are in power, judgment is above your head, and it is very severe, and you better not move too swiftly, you better not do anything because it'll cut your head off. As the avalanche grows, they will have to decide if they really trust government to keep the sword off their necks. If you quit your job, you relieve your employer of legal consequences of their decision to enforce these mandates. He suggests don't quit. Again, this is his advice. You make your own decisions, my friends. But make them fire you. By making them fire you, they have to, one, confront the difficult moral choice of firing you, and two, put them in a position where they may face serious legal repercussions, probably even, or possibly even criminal. And he's going to talk about the criminal. Now, your employer cannot be sure that the government will protect them from legal consequences of an illegal vaccine mandate. This is what I've been saying. When the tyranny collapses, there won't be a Justin Trudeau or a Doug Ford to shield them from the consequences of having played a role in the tyranny. And that creates a huge dilemma for employers. The larger the legal avalanche that employers face, the larger the likelihood that employers will push back against the government rather then risk crippling lawsuits and possibly jail time at some point down the road. Constable Gilvesi is forcing the rats to decide if they want to go down with the government's ship. Damocles' sword grows large and heavy indeed if tens of thousands of employers across the country start to follow in her footsteps.